Now, this is J.R. Smalling, and you're listening to Strange Ways Podcast with your host, the one and only Jody Havnot. Rock 'em, Jody.
Right on, J.R., right on.
Let's stop this pussyfooting around. Right?
All right. Anyways, back to A Kiss Alive 3. I want to know what your favorite song is on it, bro.
Probably I Still Love You.
Yep, mine too. What about you, D-Rock?
I'm gonna have to go a different route and say that Creatures of the Night was, you know, my favorite on that one here, and that played live, you know.
That was my second choice. Both of those songs are badass.
It sounds even cooler in E flat to me personally. I just like it when bands do that.
Yeah, a little heavier.
It had to be in sync with the rest of the tuning because that's what they used to tune to. But for me, that just it makes it all the better.
Yeah, I dig it. You know, it's a Sabbath school, man. You tune down a little bit, it gets a little thicker. Oh, yeah.
Well, Priest even, just like, I loved, I'm a huge Judas Priest fan, and like, I know they had to tune down for vocal reasons for Rob, but it just made those awesome songs even more incredible.
Right.
Like, I became that much more of a Priest fan, as odd as it sounds, because a lot of people aren't affected that way, but for some reason, like, when they try different tunings, it sounds even better.
Right, it's killer. So, we're gonna go with Creatures for D-Rock. I mean, you were going with I Still Love You. I picked I Still Love You because I've always thought that Paul fucking totally rocks that shit live better
than
it is on Creatures.
That's one of his best performances.
Yeah.
Like, just in general, whenever he does that.
Yeah,
it's like,
killer.
That's one of the best Paul songs, in my opinion.
Yeah, he really gets to show his vocals off, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's great on Unplugged. It's great on Alive 3. It's great on that freaking Animalize Live and Uncensored. Dude, it's just all around great every time. I don't think he could do it anymore, though, do you?
Oh, no.
What do you think, D-Rock? Paul, break out I Still Love You anymore?
He'd be pushing it pretty hard if he did.
Like, maybe do, like, two or three shows a month, and then maybe he can pull that off. But
right.
It's just even, I don't know, it's just...
He'd have to do a lot of warming up to be able to hit that shit anymore.
Exactly.
Yeah. I wouldn't put it out of his reach, but yeah, I don't see him doing
it's
it anytime
difficult.
Soon, you know. But,
I mean, because he said shit when he was in his prime, you know, it's not anything that he's going to be doing for 20, 30 years, you know, to where he's got it on lock, you know. It's
Well, up until the last couple of years, man, he could still wail it, I'd say, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And I bet you on a good night he could do it today, you know. So what's your general, just overall consensus on Alive 3? Is it essential?
No. I don't know. I just, for me, like, if that got you into Kiss, then it would be essential for you. But just for me personally, like, I wouldn't recommend it. Like, maybe to someone who prefers just 80s Kiss, but I'd rather just show them Alive 1 or 2.
Right.
Just,
yeah, if they're into 80s Kiss, I'd show them that Animalize Live and Uncensored before.
Oh, yeah, that'd be the first thing. But
before
if
I whip out
Alive
3, you know.
Yeah, but
you never know. It just depends on who you're trying to get into them, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's like the recent podcast where they were talking about how'd you get your buddy into Kiss, you know? And you got to base it on what you already know they like, you know?
That's true.
Like, I had friends that were always kind of down on me for liking Kiss because they were into, you know, Deicide or, you know, Morbid Angel and all this death metal shit.
You're
and they're like
my favorite bands as well. Sorry for the death metal genre.
Right.
I had to add a little freak out there. Sorry.
Right. I mean, a lot of our buddies were hardcore death heads, you know, and all these different bands, Cannibal Corpse, all this shit. And they would
the
always look at
thing,
us as like Kiss was pussy rock, you know what I'm saying?
Well, that's odd. Everyone who knows me and I say, oh yeah, I'm listening to this Kiss podcast, just like, what, you're into Kiss? And like all my death metal friends are just confused that I like Kiss. And then if I talk to anyone here about death metal, they're just like, what? You like death metal? So it's right. kind of funny how that works. I'm just a huge Kiss fan. I'm also a huge death metal, black metal fan. So
right.
you can be both, but it, I guess it's odd for people to hear that.
Right. Yeah. I think that the Kiss inspired the whole death metal thing. And I think
the
specifically,
whole black metal thing as well. The theatrics right. of it.
And like the makeup. Immortal, and the
yeah. Immortal's one of my favorite bands. And even Abba, the main singer and guitarist, or sorry, I guess the only singer guitarist, would just, like he said, his main inspiration was from Kiss.
Right.
And he breathes fire as well. So like none of that black metal scene wouldn't really exist and wouldn't have the theatrics that it does just had it not been for Kiss.
Right. Dude, I actually think that Gene Simmons, like, you know, his live God of Thunder style voice
mm-hmm.
is the whole reason we have death metal vocals in, at all. Like, he was the first dude, wasn't
that
he?
That and Lemmy, I'd say.
Yeah, I could hear Lemmy a little bit, but he's not as, like, as Gene, you know? He's not as growly at all.
Well, I'd say he's pretty growly. It's that Jack Daniels broken glass voice.
I mean, I could hear that too, but...
But like, no, I can definitely, theatrical-wise, but... No, I'd say Gene, because he's the demon, enough said.
Right. The God of Thunder, dude. Mm. Oh, the man. And when I was a kid, man, there was nothing cooler than Gene Simmons. But, you know, things change.
he's still good. He's still cool.
I still love the guy, but, you know, he's not scary anymore. You know? Once you've seen him in his little onesie and all that shit, he's not
scary during a certain video. That's all I'll say.
Oh, my God. Don't bring that one up.
Sorry.
It's like I already saw it in my mind, damn it.
Sorry.
Burned in there forever and ever. Damn it. You seen that one, D-Rocker?
No.
Don't.
Don't.
We'll just leave it at that.
It's like watching The Ring or just you'll probably
I like
die
The Ring.
In 70. No, I'm just saying like the...
Right.
Just
yeah,
the
you
story
might die and
that.
Like...
Something bad will happen.
Totally.
Oh, actually totally. No, I'm not going to bring it up again.
Yeah. Yeah, we left D-Rock hanging on that one, but that's all right. So Alive 3, like we said, man, I don't feel like it's an essential Kiss album, and it could have came at a better time.
It
sounds
really
okay, though.
It sounds good, but it all depends on just on when you got into Kiss.
Yeah, it's like where you were.
To me, it just seems like the whole purpose of them doing the Kiss Alive 3 thing not only was to get live footage of them out of the makeup, but... Yeah, it was more or less a documentation thing for them, you know, say, okay, now we've got new members, so let's have a live album with the new members, you know, because now they have Eric Singer and Bruce Kulick playing on it, you know. And
yeah, but that's bogus because they should have done that with Eric Carr.
Well, yeah, no, I agree, but I mean, I'm just saying, you know, they didn't try to make it anything, you know, better than just documentation footage, you know, saying, yeah, well, here's one of our shows that we did with these guys, you know.
Right. Yeah, it didn't feel as special as Alive 1 or 2 to me.
Still, I mean, I agree that they should have done whole live albums or live covers, you know, of them with the other members, but, you know, to me, it was just like, okay, well, it's time to do another live album, so let's just get one documented with Bruce and Eric, you know. And
right. There was nothing really too special about it, you know, just another show that's, you know, recorded. Here you go.
Right, because, I mean, the next one, which was 4, you know, they had Peter Criss back with them, but then they had Tommy Thayer with them, you know. Mm-hmm.
Right. I, you know, like we talked about earlier, at the time, I didn't even buy Alive 4 or anything like that, but, you know, I have it nowadays. And, you know, boning up for this thing, I watched it, and I actually like it much more than Alive 3, for sure. What do you guys think about Alive 4?
Well, Alive 4 is special to me, because, like, besides You Wanted the Best, You Got the Best, I guess the next thing I bought was just Alive Symphony. Like, I heard it a few times at the library, and then I went out to buy it, the DVD for it. I pretty much played it every day.
Hell yeah.
Just like in grade 7 and grade 8, that's really all I watched. And just, I don't know, that's why it's special to me, because it was relatively new. And just so I guess it got quite a bit plays for me, and it just really got me into the band, because like all those other songs I heard were from Symphony. That's the first time I heard like Dues and Going Blind and Psycho Circus.
Wow.
Yeah. Trippy. Which is odd, and a lot of fans listening are probably scratching their heads, because like it's just such a sacred thing, like hearing Dues for the first time on the first Alive, and
right.
For me it was the opposite. It was hearing it, all these songs were during Alive 4.
Wow.
And not even with Ace, with Tommy.
Yeah, he does a great job on the
I think Tommy's awesome, and he takes way too much shit. He's an awesome player. And think of this way, would you rather have like, you'd rather have a fan playing who puts a lot of passion versus some guy who's just there for a paycheck and doesn't really give a shit?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Yeah, well, the thing with Tommy is he wasn't even really just a fan. I mean, he was Ace's go-to guy for years.
Well, he worked with the band for years as well, and yeah, he taught Ace and Peter all their parts right before the
reunion. Yeah, he's been working corporately with you know.
Yeah, plus he plays he plays Ace's parts, and that's so much cooler than having some dude just going blah, 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 you know.
Exactly. He plays them note for note.
Yeah. That's what I'd do if I was in his shoes, and everyone would hate me, but I'd do it and I'd love it.
I wouldn't care. I'd in a heartbeat.
Hell yeah. And but, you know, I'd want to play Ace's licks, cuz they're killer and they fit the songs perfectly, and he realizes it, you know. So everybody get off his back, man. Let the dude do his thing.
Tommy's awesome.
Right.
He has my endorsement.
Mine
not
too.
Worth
I mean,
much, but it's something.
Right. I love Ace more.
Oh, yeah, but I'm saying Tommy.
Who else are you going to get that's going to play this shit as well?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But yeah, just to sum it up, Alive 4 is, like, I know it sounds weird to people, but it really is my favorite Alive.
Wow.
It was the first Alive I checked out. Yeah.
I could dig it. It's your first one, you know, so it's going to have a spot in your heart, you know.
Exactly.
I've been digging it, you know. I've been watching it because I knew we were going to talk about it, so I watched it again, and I enjoyed it, man.
Footage.
I thought it was pretty cool. And especially Great Expectations, you know. They never did that one before.
And, or Going Blind for me is just killer on there.
Yeah. Right. What did you think, though, being as, you know, all those songs were your first versions, was it weird for you to hear, like, you know, like the Kiss, you know, the first album version of Dues? It was kind of weird.
Yeah, I didn't think I had the right track when when it went into Dues, because it sounds so light and twangy on the original, but
right.
When you hear it live, Paul's going through those awesome Randall Colossus amps, and it's just super heavy and super saturated.
Right.
And when you're the first album, it sounded kind of twangy, and it just sounded odd. But after that, I got into it. It was even weirder hearing Going Blind for the first time off Hotter Than Hell.
I bet,
like,
compared to
the
orchestra.
Acoustic, just, whoa.
Yeah. I thought, when I was watching that, you know, the symphony thing, I thought it was weird on Great Expectations that Paul was actually playing, like, an acoustic electric, man. I've never seen that before.
That was weird.
I mean, you've seen it on, like, Unplugged and shit, but he's, like, rocking out and standing up and shit. It was weird. What'd you think about that?
Yeah.
To say that my favorite of that was actually watching him do the acoustic of Shandy.
Oh, that was great.
I'm sorry, I can't stand that song.
Yeah.
It's not my favorite, but I still think it was a great performance.
Oh, it was great, yeah. But just
orchestra behind him and playing it acoustically live. You know, I mean, it was great.
I just usually skip that one, to be honest.
I'm an unmasked dude, so I like Shandy. I think it's a good song.
Well, it's just it's good music. It's just, I personally can't stand it,
right.
If that makes any sense.
I always like other versions because, you know, Unmasked has kind of a weird mix, and the drums are kind of thin, and the whole production's kind of thin. So when you hear it live, it's got a little bit more
balls.
Oh,
it would have been a lot better if they had just a ballsier production.
Yeah.
Like a good rock mix.
Exactly. It's like, at that time, though, that was the sound that was the sound, you know, that everybody had. To me, Unmasked.
Pursue Hall & Oates.
Right, Hall & Oates. I was going to say that. It's like totally Hall & Oates. It's like a Hall & Oates mix for that record. Very strange. Yeah. Kiss does a Blue Eyed Soul, you know. It's kind of messed up. And they kind of sound like all the shit that was happening right then and there. So yeah. In ways, it's weird that I would like it, because I don't like when they copy everything else, you know?
Yeah.
But that was my second Kiss record, and I just played it to death. You know, I love it. It's all about when placement of when you got your a certain record, you know what I mean?
Exactly, because most people just don't care about Kiss Symphony, but it's my first... It's one of my first ones I got, so obviously I'm going to enjoy it quite a bit more.
Oh, yeah.
Same, like, going back to same with someone who got Alive 3 first. They're going to enjoy it quite a bit more.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that Kiss Alive as a series is, like, one of the only live series of records, you know, like a 1 and 2.
Yeah. Besides,
people call that with Led Zeppelin, you know, like Led Zeppelin 1 or 4 or whatever. Mm-hmm. But...
Yeah, it's got that kind of iconic status of, like, just by it being numbered,
it's cool. Danzig has that too, I guess, but it's not quite the same, you know what I mean? Like Kiss Alive and then Alive 2, and then for years and years and years we're all waiting for Alive 3 finally comes out. Right.
Yeah.
And then by the time, for me and a lot of people my age, by the time 4 came out, no one cared, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, another live album. Live 3, that wasn't cool, so why would this one be, you know?
Yeah.
I think they really fucked up on Alive 3, bro. I really do. I think it was a bad move. It was at the wrong time.
I still think, I still would have had Animalize, Live and Uncensored separately, but I still think High in the Shade would be really, it would have been better than Alive 3.
Definitely would have been better than Alive 3 that we have.
You got the huge Iron Maiden type stage with the Sphinx.
The Sphinxster.
The Sphinx. Yeah.
That's what I affectionately call that thing. But yeah, I mean, to me, that was a better tour, too. I mean, I don't know. That was like my favorite time I'd seen them without makeup. It was badass.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't think they looked that goofy on the Hot in the Shade. The only thing they had goofy was like they'd be wearing the leather pants and then have the high top white Reeboks on, you know? It's just a weird look. So by the Hot in the Shade, though, they were back to like leather, and Paul was playing Les Pauls and shit. And I kind of think a lot of that was like, in a lot of ways, they were, you know, kind of chasing Cinderella and Guns N' Roses and shit, and going for like more of a rock and roll look with the Les Pauls and shit, rather than some weird Kramer or ESP or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, Kiss all through those, ever since they took the makeup off, and even when they put it back on, they've always been following others, man, ever since they took the shit off, wouldn't you say? And while they they had it, you know, basically since 79, dude, they lost their own identity and became like, instead of trendsetters, they were like the followers, you feel me?
Oh yeah, well, it's funny because they invented all that, just pretty much the rock and roll stage show, like the stage show. And then you just go like a few years into the future, and now like they're following trends by... That's so weird how they helped discover Van Halen and like Bon Jovi and whatnot, and then they end up following them by closer to the end of the 80s.
Well, like a non-Kiss fan would say, you know, it's because all these other bands finally had the big show, but plus had the better music.
Yeah.
Now that's what someone that's not drinking the Kiss Kool-Aid would say. So fuck those people.
Exactly.
It's like for years they were the ones setting the bar for all these bands. Now all these bands wanted to be like them. And then finally all those bands made it big, and now all of a sudden Kiss is chasing after the ones that wanted to be like them.
Well, if you ask a non-Kiss fan, like if they, like they'd be like, oh, Kiss sucks. And then you say, well, why did they suck? They never have a reason. Like, they just hate because they hate. I don't understand.
It's the makeup, dude. It's the makeup.
Just because it's not cool and it's not artsy fartsy and it's not real. Just because you haven't. You know, I don't understand it.
It's strictly based on the perception that if you wear makeup, you don't have the talent to do it without
it. Well, yes, Alice Cooper is one of the most talented people in the fucking world, and he wears makeup.
Right. That's just people and their stupid opinions. Everybody's got one. It's like an asshole, you know what I mean?
Hard fart rocker.
Right. And people that don't like Kiss think we're all a bunch of geeks and weirdos, you know?
I don't care.
I don't either. Fuck them.
Fuck them.
It's like, This is my life, and I'm gonna like what I want, you know. And what makes me happy makes me happy, and it doesn't have to make you happy.
Exactly. But
don't shit on my parade. You feel me? I'm just having a good time listening to music that I really love.
Well, that's the way I think. That's how I try to live my life.
Right. It's like, you know, just like, do what makes you happy, man. You only live once. Why should you even waste time going, I hate this fucking band and you're stupid for liking them? It's like, so what, man? Like what you like. I don't get mad at people that like Justin Bieber or whatever. I don't care. Waste your money on his records. I don't care.
You tuned in to the philosophical moment of Strange Ways.
Deep thoughts. We need to get the fucking Podfather on the phone and get some Gene Simmons. Yeah, give us a deep thought. Let's do one with D-Rock one time and just off random and see what happens. Here you go, D-Rock. Deep thoughts with D-Rock.
What do you want to know?
Caller, you're on the air.
No, you're supposed to give us some kind of wisdom. Let's try it again.
Deep thoughts with D-Rock, rock.
Man who stands on toilet is high on pot.
Anyways, where were we? We're talking Kiss Alive 4, obviously.
Want to do favorite songs?
Sure. What you got?
I'm going to have to go with Deuce.
Yeah?
The first time I heard Deuce, so that was that it moment for me.
Right.
You know,
Such a great song.
I know it's, you guys think it's weird, but a second contender would be Psycho Circus, but I just, that's still one of my favorites.
I like Psycho Circus.
I absolutely can't stand the rest of the album.
I can't either, but that song's not bad.
The song is just for me.
The only thing I don't like, I love the music of Psycho Circus and all that.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's kind of a corny chorus where they're just going, you're in the sigh.
Oh, it's absolutely stupid, but I love the melody.
You're in the sigh, you know? Yeah. It's goofy.
I just like the way that it's all broke down. It's like, hello!
That's killer. That part rules.
You know, I just like how it breaks itself down and then it just like builds up dramatically to the chorus, you know, and then goes back down to like the almost evil, eerie, mysterious feel that carnivals actually have, you know, with all the freaks and the excitement, you know. And
I think I like it so much because it's pretty much Detroit Rock City Part 2.
That's what I was going to say. That breakdown's totally like Detroit Part 2.
Maybe that's why I like it, but it's so epic, though.
Yeah, just it really is.
A close-up of them just... I just picture, like,
I love that.
A bunch of jets flying and, like, just rockets going off and then just this epic battle going on in the background.
Totally. Oh, that's awesome. For me, I'm going to go with Great Expectations, dude. I don't know.
Ooh, that's the best for the acoustic segment, for sure.
Yeah. It kicks ass, man. And I've always been a fan of that song, On Destroyer, but...
Yeah, I like it too. I don't know why a lot of people don't really...
It's the whole boys choir, you know.
Yeah.
It's just kind of weird for Kiss, being as they're, at the time, are supposed to be all evil and shit.
I don't know.
I've always loved that song. I think it's cool that they finally busted it out live. That's why I'm picking it.
Great, yeah.
Yeah, it's cool. It's cool. What about the whole, like, you know, the shit behind the scenes leading up to the show. Did you guys dig that on the DVD?
I've seen that so many times.
Yeah,
but
me too. It's awesome.
Great, but I think I was talking to you about this earlier. It's funny how, like, it seems like they're getting along so well, and then you read Peter's book, and he's at his wit's end with they screwed me out of this, and Pauly was being a jerk, and fuck those guys. Just sort of, sorry, folks, that sounded more like John Travolta.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something about the Melbourne Symphony Orchestra. Sorry, he usually goes into that. But, no, it's really cool how they did, just, like, how they were working with David Campbell, just arranging the music, and the rehearsal was pretty cool, too.
Yeah.
Of course, Gene fucks up God of Thunder during the rehearsal as well, but it was kind of cool how it was a transitional thing and just how they were building the stage and Gene's bass tech and all, just cool stuff like that.
Yeah, it's like they were playing and they're going, man, we're playing with Peter and you guys are playing, we're not, you know,
by them, we're playing. Oh, and then Gene goes, oh, you so it's my fault. Well, everyone's a contributor, no?
Yeah, it's some cool shit. If you haven't, I'm sure all the Kiss freaks out there have already seen it. But if you haven't, definitely look it up.
Yeah,
check it out.
It's pretty cool.
It's definitely worth a watch, you know.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of seeing Kiss just kind of chilling out, you know.
I like behind the scenes in general.
Yeah,
like,
it's always great to see your heroes not
like
doing what they do.
Like just sound checks as well, yeah, though. Great. Like I watch a bunch of bootleg Megadeth sound checks and whatnot. They're pretty sick.
You know, D-Rock's a big Megadeth freak.
One of my favorite bands. I got a lot of their concerts on video.
Yeah. D-Rock's even got the Mustaine V with the freaking Peace Cells shit on it.
Are the Peace Cells Flying V. The
It's pretty sweet.
That's badass.
Have you heard Megadeth's version of Strange Ways at all?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
I've heard.
What's funny about Megadeth, and this is so far off the subject too, but I think it's hilarious that Dave Mustaine and Megadeth actually did one of the Power Rangers songs.
Did they really?
Yeah.
Well, I can see that Power Rangers music is heavy as hell if you really, if you just listen to the soundtrack.
Right.
So there's some great riffs.
I think their version of Strange Ways is pretty good, you know? I didn't expect them to do that.
You know, I mean, as far as remakes go, I'd take Megadeth's Strange Ways over Skid Row's Come On and Love Me.
Would you? I don't know, man. I don't know. You can't tell me that when that Come On and Love Me was new, you didn't think it was the shit.
I mean, it's good, but I still like Megadeth's version of Strange Ways better, you know? Because, I mean, they rocked it out. They made it their own. They didn't reproduce it and make it sound exactly like how Kiss did it.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Speaking of Kiss covers, did you guys... Have you heard that Ozone by the Foo Fighters? I posted it the other day on Facebook. Did you check that out?
Yeah.
Man, that dude sounds exactly like Ace, doesn't
he? I know, it's weird.
Like weird. Have you heard that, D-Rock?
I thought it was good, though. Yeah.
I guess it's Dave Grohl singing. I don't know.
Is it? Yeah, Dave Grohl sings for the Foo Fighters.
But, I mean, this version, you should look it up on my Facebook, D-Rock. I posted it a couple days ago. I mean, he sounds exactly like fucking Ace vocally, dude. It's crazy. You gotta check it out.
Okay.
Alright, I think it's about that time. We're gonna do this little thing, and then, what's it called, D-Rock?
Kiss Army Roll Call!
I love it. So what it is, I think you know what it is, man. We just get a little shout-out from our listeners. And first up on the list that I can see here on Facebook, it's from the Podfather, Ken Mills. He says, is Ken Mills a hero of yours, and does he have a sexy voice? Well, yes and yes, of course.
Obviously.
The Podfather, I mean, granted, you know, if it wasn't for the podcast, I don't think there would even be any Kiss podcasts right now, you know what I'm saying?
An offer that he can't refuse.
Plus a sexy voice, of course.
He's a powerful and attractive man.
Exactly.
Listen, M's like hearing a Kiss porno.
Ken Mills is where it's at, dude. The Podfather, you know, I mean... Without Podkiss, I said it a minute ago, but there wouldn't really be any other Kiss podcasts. I'm pretty sure there wouldn't be, because we all, you know, they did it first and have been doing it forever, and, you know, they're killer. So if you're not listening to Podkiss, man, go out there and subscribe. Subscribe to their Podkiss feed. Get all the shit, man. They got the Monkees podcast is on there. Cheap Talk is on there. The Kiss Room is on there. Everything you need right there at Podkiss. So make sure you check that shit out.
All great shows, definitely.
Oh, yeah. Love them all. Up next, we got Jeff Gray. Jeff Gray's coming from...
How's it going, Jeff?
Just from watching you. I don't know if you guys are watching that podcast, but it's killer. And he says, Carnival Souls kind of gets a bad rap, and does Paul dislike it because of the songs or the reviews? I think I saw something where Paul just said he doesn't like it because, you know... They weren't really writing from their hearts at that point. You know, they were trying
to
be grunge.
To be popular with the grunge trend.
And, you know, it's like pretty hard to be unhappy when you're living the life in that Kiss leads, you know?
Plus, you've been talking about pretty much having a good time for years, and it's kind of hard for the general public to buy that all of a sudden you're moody now.
Right.
It's because everyone else is.
Yeah, it's... I'm not a big fan of Carnival of Souls.
Well, actually, I'm starting to like it more.
I mean, it has its moments. I'm not going to say I don't like some songs, but...
I've been really liking Childhood's End.
Yeah, I dig that one.
I think that's the best one on there.
It is probably the best song on the record. I like The Jungle a lot, too, as far as Paul's songs. But, you know, I had that tape long before it ever came out officially. You know, you could, if you're a Kiss fan, you probably have it.
Yeah, we were around in my Jeep listening to that thing all the time.
Like, years before they actually released it. I don't know if it was the same mix or not, but it was heavy as hell, you know? And that was, one, like we were talking about earlier, that was one of those ones that I would play to my thrash buddies and be like, dude, check out Kiss, man. I know you could dig it. And I'd bust them out. I think the tape that was called, wasn't called Carnival of Souls. I think it was Hate or something like that. Or no, what was it called? Head. I think it was called Head. Wasn't it? I can't remember.
The first time, I think it was called Hate.
I don't remember something. It wasn't called Carnival of Souls, though. But anyways, I just think that they don't like it because, A, it didn't sell. You know, I mean, let's be honest about it. Mm-hmm. So they're not going to always talk about how great it was. It's like The Elder, you know. They kind of slag that because it was a commercial failure, you know. If it would have sold a million records, they'd be talking about how great it was. You know what I'm saying? And it's the same thing they do with Destroyer. That's why they compare everything to Destroyer because that was, you know, that's their big album. So, I mean, I don't know that he necessarily dislikes it that much. You know, if it would have sold, he'd be talking about how great it was, I think. I don't know. But like he said, you mean, it wasn't, his heart really wasn't in it. And he said that, I think it was on that Indie Expo he was talking about it. Mm-hmm. But you got this list going over there, Andrew?
Yep, next up we have Adam Perkins.
Hey, what's up, Adam?
How's it going, Adam?
What's up?
I say right on, Adam. And thanks for the shout out. And then it says, we got Chris Zinzak. He says, we rock. Dude, you guys rock. Decibel Geek's a fucking great podcast. And I think most of our listeners are probably aware of it. But if you're not, you gotta go check it out. It's great. Two great hosts, man. Chris and Aaron, man. They kick ass, dude. You guys listen to Decibel Geek?
Yep.
It's been awesome. Getting into it lately, though. They just did the 1984 year in review. I love the year in reviews that they got going. That's always interesting, you know. It's pretty cool, man. I dig it. And thanks for listening, brother. I'm going to leave this next one up to you, Andrew. I have no idea how you would say that.
Oh, I was about to say I'm going to butcher most of these people's last names. Don...
Is it Nitschke?
Nitschke.
Don. Right on, Don. What's up?
Sorry.
You can definitely say Don right. So what's up, Don? Thanks for listening, dude. Up next, we got David Haltom. What's up, brother? Dude? He's a Western Kentucky dude. I was born in Western Kentucky. So we got a little kinship besides Kiss. Pretty groovy. Up next, who we got?
Mr. Matt Porter. Woo! How's it going, man?
Yeah. What's up, boy?
Awesome Matt guy. Porter, the Kiss Room. Dude, I think everyone listens to the Kiss Room, but if you don't, man, you're slipping. Kiss Room is like one of my big favorites. I tune in. Lately, I've been able to tune in live, and it's been really cool.
Same. Listen live every time. It's awesome.
Yeah, great show.
Man, you gotta give him a check out, man.
And they always read my dumbass comments, too, so it's fantastic.
Right. Yeah, this past episode was pretty great, I think. You know, the interview was fantastic.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Kiss Room never disappoints. I always love it. Always look forward to it.
And, I wish it was every week, but what you gonna do?
Right. That would be great. Every week at the Kiss Room. Man, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we get it when we can take it, I guess. Denise Hubbs says, hey, guys. What's up, Niecy?
How's it going?
Niecy, haven't seen her in a little while. Hope you're doing all right, Niecy. What you got next over there, Andrew?
I got George Savastano.
George Savastano.
How's it going, George?
He wants to get on the show. Man, we should have called you tonight, bro. You could have been on here with us. Maybe next time. Now that we got Skype, anyone that wants to be on the show, man, just hit me up, dude. I'll Skype you in. And just like tonight, we probably wouldn't even be doing this, but this was Andrew's idea. So, right on. It helps, man, because I can't always think about shit to talk about. But if you got an idea or a show you want us to do, and you want to do it with us, just hit me up on Facebook.
And don't forget
We'll make giving it happen.
Giving us requests on other songs you want us to redo, too.
Yeah, we're always looking to do requests. I know we've been slipping as far as our covers go, but somehow we'll get on it.
One of our groupmates has been MIA for a while, so...
Yeah, Clinton gets busy, man, when the girls don't have... When they're out of school, he has to basically deal with that, you know? When they're out of school, they're at home all day, so... And they can't stay home alone. You feel me? They're too young. But anyways, we love you, Clinton, man. We'll see you soon. I think we're getting together Monday, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he's supposed to come over Monday to finish up those vocals.
Right. All right. So up next, we got our boy Joey Kish. What up, Joey?
What's up, going, Joe?
Hell yeah. And after that, we got Johnny Wicker. He says, tell everyone he says hello. So hello, everyone out there, from our boy Johnny Wicker. How you doing, Johnny?
Johnny's
supposed to be on the show pretty soon. He hooked up his Skype, and we're definitely going to have him. And we've been talking about it ever since that damn contamination show. That's where we met officially. We've been Facebook friends for a while, but we officially met at contamination. So what's up, Johnny? We look forward to having you on, brother. Who else we got? We got Greg Beyer. We have Blair... You seeing these, Andrew? They're in the seven others like thing or whatever.
Oh, what? No, I'm on another page. Oh, okay. Hang on a second.
No, you're good. You're good. We got Greg Beyer. We got Blair. I'm not sure how to pronounce this one, but it's C-O-M-E-A-U. How would you say that?
C-O-M-A. What?
Like C-O-M-E-A-U, like Como or something. I'm not sure, but. Blair, thanks for listening. I'm sorry about not being able to pronounce your name.
Yeah, we're just butchering these last names.
There's a lot of those where we can't pronounce names.
We got Andrew Kiss. What's up, Andrew Kiss?
What? When did I type that? Oh, yeah.
You must have liked it earlier.
Yeah. Well, it was funny. I was telling you, I was like, I saw the Kiss Army roll call, and I was about to type my name, and I said, holy crap, I'm going to be on in an hour. That was a really dummy move.
Right.
I don't know.
That's great.
I was thinking about making a joke about that and just announcing your name anyway.
We do have Rachel Ann. What up, Rachel Ann?
How's it going, Rachel Ann?
She couldn't be with us tonight, but stay tuned. She'll be back around. Lady Space. What up, lady? We also have Paul Savastano. Wonder if he's related to George. I don't know. It's very possible. Who else do we got on this thing? Jeremy Conklin's on here.
What's up, Jeremy?
How's it going, Jeremy?
Jeremy did a D-Rock's Kiss tattoo. He did a great cover-up, too.
Master right there, man. He does almost all my work.
Yeah, he does a great job. Let me see. Let me switch over to this other page and see who liked it over here. We got Fernando Carrillo. Or Carrillo, I guess. And Billy Hardaway. Billy Hardaway, he said, we better give him a shout-out, damn it. Well, here's your shout-out, Billy Hardaway. Billy Hardaway! What do you guys got to say to that?
How's it going, Billy?
He's got some questions, too, so that's cool. Let's see. It says, does anyone have or has heard the version of Back on the Streets with Paul singing it? I know it exists somewhere. I personally have not seen it. I mean, heard it.
I haven't heard it.
I'd like to hear it, though.
Chris Dull.
Chris Dull. What's up,
How's
Chris
going,
Dull?
Chris? And he has... How about if anyone is going to spend the $1,700 on the Kisteria box set?
Dude, if I was a millionaire, I'd probably buy it. It's pretty damn cool, but 17 seems a little steep, I think.
Yes. Do they have a pay-as-you-go plan?
I don't know. It's cool. I mean, it comes in a big anvil, a real anvil case, and you get all the Kiss records with all the inserts and all that shit. Some posters, a lot of cool shit. It just seems ridiculous that they think that fans want to pay $1,700 for the same records that most of us already have. You know what I mean? Well, I have most of those with the inserts already.
You'll get fans that... pay for, like, when it comes out as like a reissue or something like that, for collectors, they'll pay for it. So there's always a market for that.
But it's almost like Kiss, like, they know that they got people that are like completists and they have to have every little thing.
Yeah.
So it's like they just put this shit out knowing that there's going to be some people that buy it because they have to have it to complete the $1,700 for a bunch of Kiss records I already own. Seems ridiculous.
Not worth it.
I'd love to have them. And, you know, one of the selling points is, oh, well, you can get, you know, like, Greatest Kiss is on vinyl. That's like, so? Who cares about Greatest Kiss, dude? A compilation on vinyl? So what? I mean, you have all these same songs on the real records already.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just find $1,700 to be a little outrageous. Now, granted, oh, for sure. If I just had disposable money, like if I won a lottery or some shit, you could better be sitting in my Kiss room, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd open them up or not, but I'd have it, you know, just because it's cool. It's super cool, but the price is ridiculous. That's my thoughts. What do you guys think about it?
Well, yeah, for it's too damn expensive, but yeah, like if you could afford it, then yeah, I'd have it just in my room in a display case with a bunch of lights and a disco ball.
Right.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Saying that your average everyday Kiss fan's going to want to go out or be able to go out and get, you know?
It's like way too much, but it's just, I think like the hardcore collectors will probably be saving since it's like the 40th year. They probably knew something big was coming out, so they might have been saving for that. You never know.
Right.
But there's always a market for that somewhere.
What do you guys think of Kiss 40? You check that out at all?
No, not yet. Is that the compilation?
Yeah, it's just a comp disc.
Oh.
It's got a couple demos that we've already all heard. You know, I just ignore those things in general. It's just like I don't care. I don't care about it.
On the roll call?
Yeah.
Because what I was saying, I had a couple of friends I wanted to say hi to who was listening. How's it going to my friends Jonathan and Mike? Sorry for bugging your ass all the time. I guess I keep talking about Kiss podcasts all the time. Kiss and Kiss podcasts, just like
spread
that's
the
all
word.
I do is talk their ear about. They're just like, I think they're just glad that I found something I enjoy, but really, yeah, that probably gets annoying.
What were the names?
Jonathan and Mike.
Jonathan and Mike, we're sorry, bro. We created a monster in part. Not completely, but you can put most of the blame on KST, I think.
Oh, yeah, that's true. But when I told them I was going to be on here as well, that was just...
Right on. Well, I hope they're listening, and... sorry to unleash a monster on you, brothers. Who else we got? Is that it?
I think that was it.
I want to say a couple shout-outs to Joe Polo.
Yeah.
I want to make a special shout-out to our boy J.R. Smalling. Killer. Who else? You know, the typical groups. Matt Porter. We want to say a special thanks to the podcast. The Kiss Room. Obviously,
KST.
Podcast Rock City, KST, you know the routine. We say it every time. We love these shows, and we really urge you guys to check them out if you're not. I'm pretty sure you already do. That's probably how you found out about us, you know what I'm saying?
But, so I found out about you guys, too.
Right, exactly.
KST.
So check it out. Make sure you check out that Watching You. If you guys aren't watching that, man, check it out. It's on YouTube. Just type in Watching You, you know, Kiss Podcast. It's pretty cool, man. It's kind of like three sides, but... has cooler graphics, and it's just pretty cool, man. Check it out. Check it out for sure.
Yeah, I wanted to make a shout out to my boy Glenn. He's the guy that's making my prosthetic. Me and you're gonna end up seeing him there at the Kiss concert in August.
Right on.
He's trying to make me a cool looking thing for my leg, you know, with the Kiss emblems and shit. So.
That's totally awesome. So. Kiss Alive, man. I think it's a pretty good fucking series of albums.
Mm-hmm.
I think the major misstep, though, is Alive 3. It's like, wrong time, wrong songs. Forgettable.
That was the weak link in the compilation of all four of them.
Right.
Yeah. It's their Godfather Part 3.
Totally. Totally. Is there anything else we need to cover, or what? All right, so is there any last thoughts from you guys? What's up?
Don't eat yellow snow.
Right. What do you got, D-Rock?
I'm good.
Right on. I'm going to say thanks for listening. You know, if you want to, check us out on Facebook. We dig on that. I don't know. One thing I do want to say, I think...
Stitcher, you can find us on iTunes.
Right. And I want to say, too, man, listen to us on your damn headphones. It sounds better. I listen to it on speakers, and it's like, it's not as good. I mix
it
in headphones.
I can't hear all the jokes if I listen on speaker. I mess quite a bit, but just with headphones, you can hear everything.
Yeah, you hear the voices a lot clearer. You can hear the music better and the little bits.
Sound bites, too.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Definitely.
But anyways, what were we saying?
We're wrapping it up.
Final thoughts.
Final thoughts. I just want to say thanks for listening, you know. Dig on us. Subscribe to us. If you subscribe on iTunes, then you don't even have to worry about... What?
Does the work for you.
Yeah, it's like if you're subscribed, then you get them as they come out. You don't have to worry about when are they coming out, because they'll just magically appear. It's pretty groovy. That's what I do to all my favorite shows. So I just get them when I log into iTunes, and it's like, right on, right on.
And all you fans, make sure you send us in your requests for songs so that we can keep you all happy.
I'll put my request now as All Night, but I don't know if you guys like that song. Probably not.
Dude, we have a hard time doing any of the 80s Kiss ones because Paul sings so high that it's like...
That's true.
I need to kick Clinton in the nuts to make him do it. We recorded Turn on the Night, and it still hasn't really been released because it's just not as good as... could be, you feel me? But
Paul,
it's just hard to sing that super high 80s Paul for anyone, so I mean that's one of the reasons that one never saw the light of day. Really, I put it on the end of one of the episodes and was like, when I heard it back, I was like, oh god, I can't believe I put that out there, but I did, and it is what it is. So if you heard it, right on. If you liked it, right on. If you didn't, I didn't really either.
Freely on that one too,
huh?
I said we were accompanied with Slade Freely on that one.
Freely, yeah. All right, so anyways, we're going to call this one an episode. And once again, coming at you from Jindal, this is Jody Havnot.
This is D-Rock.
And this is Andrew.
Be easy, motherfuckers. Give us a last word, because mine sucked.
I just said it. I was like, peace.
Have your pet spayed or neutered.
Yes. Don't eat the brown acid.
Coke and Pepsi are the same thing.
If it looks like an Arby's sandwich turned on its side, run.
Hi, Kiss fans. This is J.R. Smalling, and I'm pleased to announce the release of our new book, Out on the Streets, written by me and the other members of the original KISS crew. This book chronicles the glory days of the hottest band in the land from 1974 to 1976. You'll hear the real tales of what it was like to be on the road with KISS during those early years. For more information or to purchase, visit our website at www.theoriginalkisscrew.com. That's crew with a K. You wanted the book and you got it! And we hope that you enjoy it.
You wanted the best, you got the best. And if you want the hottest show on Monco Radio, join us in the KISS Room. The KISS Room is a monthly radio broadcast celebrating the hottest band in the world. KISS! It's your place for all things KISS and some... For broadcast dates and all information, go to thekissroom.com. The KISS Room broadcasts live and worldwide on Monco Radio, where music and minds meet.
Kistery Science Theater, the most civilized.
Yeah. Oh, f***. Oh, f***, Lee. Come on.
Respectful.
Just imagine Gene with like a washtub bass. Boom, 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 boom.
And serious.
No, wait. Excuse me, Bob. You're gonna come over and do my album?
KISS podcast on the web. Kistery Science Theater. We bust balls because we care.
Someone, somewhere is needing to hear from you. Someone needing to know that you care. Care enough to give the gift of Podkist. Tell a friend about Podkist today. Download us on iTunes, friend us on Facebook, and rock your ass out. Podkist.
Podkist. Rock City. What's up, everybody? Joe here from Podcast Rock City. Join me each and every week as I give you my opinion on all the KISS topics and news of the week. I talk about every era of KISS with a number of guest hosts from all your favorite KISS podcasts. Check the show out on iTunes, Podomatic, Stitcher, and YouTube. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Podcast Rock City, your 20-minute KISS fix.
I'm afraid I've given you all the time I can spare at the moment, my dear. You'll have to come back. Thank you, and goodbye.
I love you. Bye!